and was one of the people who was very strongly involved in bringing over the program. And I think from my knowledge and my recollections of Rabbi Cohen, one of the outstanding midos, one of the outstanding characteristics that always came through whenever Rabbi Cohen spoke to us in yeshiva was his absolute tremendous passion for chinuch and for good chinuch. And so much of what we heard in yeshiva had to do with making connections to our talmidim, making good, solid connections that would have an impact on them. When I asked Rabbi Cohen a month and a half ago if he would stay overnight, the second after coming for the TTC dinner last night, he was very graciously said, for sure, I'd be very happy to speak to Lechanchim and to give over the message of instilling some Pesach Chaim, instilling happiness in our talmidim. So it's a big kavod for me, and I really, really appreciate Rabbi Cohen for coming and spending the time here. And it's a kavod to introduce Rabbi Cohen.
Thank you very much. I really feel it is for me a big kavod and a privilege to be here. And the little bit that I've seen and heard over the last maybe 48 hours of the matzav in chinuch here in Toronto, I think that you people and the city at large has a lot to be proud of. I don't think that you're lagging behind anyone else, and I think that a turnout like this on Thursday nights, when you have so many other important things to do, is a testimony to the sincerity and the commitment and the dedication which seems to permeate the whole Olam HaChinuch here in this city. So it's really a privilege to be here. Simchas HaChaim, happiness, to me is not just one nekuda which can help in the process of chinuch. I believe that happiness is really the essence of the whole chinuch process. And I think it has many tributaries and many interrelated aspects. But the truth of the matter is, if we can nurture a happy student, if we can develop a happy classroom, if we can develop a happy family, then I think we got it made. The job is, consider it done. Not so easy to do it, but that's really, I think, a main and an ultimate goal. I'd like to explain that and maybe expand upon it a little bit in terms of how it might be helpful and relevant to us. I've always had the question that for a society that has been so passionate about the pursuit of happiness, more money is spent on seminars and lectures and books and courses and retreats and everything, all about finding happiness. And yet if you judge by any of the statistics or the rates out there, including the rates that mental health professionals can charge, we don't seem to be achieving that goal of happiness as a society. And I've often wondered why. I've come to the conclusion, it's really very simple. We don't know what it is. If we can't define what we're looking for, we have no chance of finding it. We can trip on it and not even realize what we've seen. And therefore I think the definition of happiness is critical. And I think the definition, the best definition, is really David HaMelech told us. David HaMelech said, "Acha shoalti me'eis Hashem oiso avakesh, shifti be'beis Hashem kol yemei chayai." He has one request, shifti be'beis Hashem. That was the ultimate. And what did David HaMelech say about one who is shifti be'beis Hashem? Ashrei yoshvei be'secho, oisher. That's happiness. That's maybe the ultimate form of happiness. And we know in the Loshon HaKodesh that the three-letter sherush of the word defines the essence of the concept. And I believe the definition of happiness is ishur, la'asher, validation. Happiness is about feeling good about oneself. if one feels good about himself, he's happy. That's all he needs. If we can make a student feel good about himself, that's it. He's in the best possible mental state, ready to be mekabel so much. And the one who is the direct cause of that happiness, of that feeling good about himself, is in the absolutely most influential position in the life of that young person, or of an adult as well. Because if I make you feel good about yourself, I'm critical to your existence. And it's like, you'll do anything. And I really can have the maximum hashpah on an individual when I can make him feel good about himself. So really the goal is, how do we make our Talmidim feel good about themselves? And if we can do that, we can reach them, which is really the goal of chinuch. I like to say it's not about teaching, it's really about reaching. They should, instead of teacher training, there's a lot of teacher training out there. We have to do reacher training. We have to, if we can't reach our Talmidim with a long, lasting impact of the chinuch that we give them, we really haven't done chinuch. In fact, Rashi says that. Rashi in the posuk Vayorek es chanichov. What is the definition of chinuch? He says, Tchilas knisas odom, keili, le'umnes she'osid lamud bo. It's the beginning of the knisa, which we'll come back to in a moment, of a person to a numnes that he's destined to remain in. It's a long-term commitment. We want chinuch for a lifetime. And that's what the definition of chinuch is. And I think there's another message in that tchilas knisas. And that is, we have to give him, we're doing the tchila, that's chinuch. Who's doing the knisa? That's the Talmud himself. We have to give him the ability, the tools, the wherewithal to be constantly entering and re-entering into new levels of growth in his Yiddishkeit, in his Yirah Shemayim, in his connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by giving him the tchila and the tools to do the knisa on an ongoing basis, it will be something that will remain and will have accomplished the goal of chinuch. And I think one of the most important tools, one of the most important gifts that we can give our Talmidim is this sense of feeling good about themselves. How do we do that? Well, one thing that makes a person feel very good about himself is, I care for you, I love you. The Sipurnu defines love in this Hakdoma Tishir Ashirim as sheyismach ho'oyhev b'malas ha'ne'av. When one rejoices in the qualities of the one he loves, that's the definition of that's the definition of love. Love means I appreciate your qualities. Love is a statement. You are a quality person. You know why I care about you? Because you have such qualities. And here we sitting in this room have koiches that even their parents don't have. Maybe we don't have the ability to give them the intensity of love that their parents can give them. Maybe we do, I don't know. But we have something else. Because parental love, when it comes to validation, is limited because of the fact that it's my parent. My mother loves me, my grandmother loves me. It's genetic. It's expected. It's part of the job description. We're getting paid for that. Not so a Rebbe. Rebbe really should be getting paid for that too, but they don't have to know that. The Rebbe cares for me? The Rebbe loves me? The Rebbe thinks I'm choshuv? The Rebbe rejoices in my milus? Oh, I must be choshuv. It's not genetic. It's not automatic. It's not natural. It's because I'm worthy. Of course, there's another ingredient which is also critical, and this one, let me tell you a little story. I once got a call in Los Angeles to do a mission of helping a group of teachers to get their students to respect them more. From the very beginning of the call, I wasn't interested in this assignment. That wasn't my thing. But anyway, then I found out a few moments later it was a preschool. Anyway, be that as it may, I decided rather than giving a speech, I'll just give them the advice, 1, 2, 3, respect the kids. They hung up the phone, they weren't interested in that advice. But that's it. If we respect them, do you know what we do? We validate them. I respect your question. I respect your opinion. I respect your person. I respect your space. I respect your time. Oh, I'm choshuv. I'm a mensch. I'm somebody that the Rebbe has a respect for me. That doesn't mean we stand up when he walks into the classroom. And it doesn't mean that he shouldn't have that respect. But the truth of the matter is, the more respect we model, the more respect we will receive as well. But respect is very validating. We can, of course, ruin it all with criticism. One insult, one put down, not to mention one embarrassment publicly, rachmona litzlan, in a classroom, can take away all the good that we've accomplished. I mentioned the other night at the dinner, Rashi, at the beginning of Dvorim, says that Yaakov Avinu on his deathbed apologized to Reuven that he didn't give him teichocha until he was on the deathbed. I guess that's a safer, a more palatable position, because I was afraid that if I had been moichiach you before, you would leave me. Lidobek be'esav ochi. Reuven the tzaddik, who had done tshuva for his mistake, Yaakov Avinu, who knew how to give teichocha in the softest, gentlest way, was afraid that if it wasn't on the deathbed, if it was earlier on, maybe he'll be so broken, his self-esteem will be so shattered, he'll feel so bad about himself through the words and the rebuke of his father, that he'll leave him to join Esav. That's the potential devastating effect. We have to be so careful about criticism. Yes, we have to teach, and yes, we have to guide, but everything has to be in a positive way. And the best teaching is shalei b'shas ma'isa. When we talk to a person b'shas hachet, it's b'ke'ein what Chazal say, al teratze odin b'shas ka'asoi. He's b'kas right now. He's upset right now. He's not going to listen. We have to find another opportunity. And the best opportunity is one that's not direct. Is one where I talk about something or someone and he can indirectly get the message. But be that as it may, you have to be so careful about criticism. Criticism can be devastating. And not only can it be devastating and painful, but if it hurts that sense of validation, if it hurts my relationship with that student as the one who makes him feel good about himself, I've lost the greatest connection and the greatest pipeline to do chinuch in this individual. Something that I think is so, so critical. But when it comes to feeling good about oneself and being happy, there are many other ingredients as well. And I think that as mechanchim, we must have encountered the sense that so many students, as they get older, seem to feel that what's going on over here? What's the purpose of all of this? What am I doing? Why was I created? What are we doing on this world? What's the purpose of the mitzvahs? Why must we learn so much? Why must we daven so much? Why? The whys and the whats and the hows and the sense of, someone once put it, once there was at one of these Arachim seminars, that there was a young couple that was a frum couple, but they had suffered a tragedy, and someone sent them to this outreach seminar. And at the end, they have a symposium where the participants speak. And this young man got up and he said, "I learned to the finest yeshivas." And he said, "I learned," and he listed everything he learned. And Mamish, you know, he knew, he learned. He says, "But I never had a context with which to appreciate it. What was it all about? Where is it coming from? Well, what's the purpose of creation? How did this whole story unfold? What's going on behind the scenes? What does it mean to me? How does it give my life a sense of meaning and purpose?" And he says, this seminar gave him that sense, and it changed his life. Became a whole different human being based on that four-day experience. So this is something. Now, let's stop for a moment just to think about purpose. What can be more invalidating to a person more making him feel that he's worthless if he has no purpose, if he doesn't know his purpose, or if he has a mundane purpose as opposed to a glorious purpose, or if he has a self-appointed or chosen purpose as opposed to the purpose for which he was created. But if I can know the purpose for which I was created, you know, the best one to tell us the purpose of any technology is the manufacturer. And the way we find the purpose for that technology, if the manufacturer refuses or for some reason is not ready to talk to us, is in the manual. So he has to know, what is the purpose? If I don't have a sense of purpose, a good mental health professional will tell you that if someone walks into their office and says, I have no purpose, suicide watch should begin. Because that may not be far away. I have no purpose to live, so why should I live? So they must have that sense of purpose. That sense of purpose will bring happiness, that brings validation, that makes them feel good about themselves, and the confusion about purpose, and the minimization of what the purpose is, the cheapness of the purpose, or the arbitrariness of the purpose, not truly the purpose for which I was put in this world, as given to me by the Creator, by the manufacturer, if you will, doesn't do anything for me. I don't have it. And we have the opportunity in our chinuch to give them that ultimate sense of validation, because we can connect them with the manual that was given by the manufacturer in a public forum that cannot be contradicted in front of millions of eyewitnesses, a manufacturer who clearly identified himself in the Nisim v'Nifloim in Yetzias Mitzrayim and on the Yam Suf. And when he came to Har Sinai in front of millions of people, an entire nation, and he says to them, Onoichi Hashem Elokecha Asher Yitzeisicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim B'beis Avodim, now they know, that's me, I'm the Creator, I created you. Ramban tells us they saw creation in Yetzias Mitzrayim, because Odom Arisha was created after creation. There was no human eyewitness. They were eyewitnesses to the upheaval of creation. They saw the Bnei Olam acting in his role as Creator. And now he comes and says, I'm going to tell you the purpose. Lo yeh lecho, lo yisas lecho, so forth and so on. We are so privileged. Our Talmidim are so privileged that they can actually know beyond doubt, we'll talk about that in a moment, the purpose of creation, the reason that they're here. Wow, I can have happiness. I can feel good about myself. I don't have to feel that I have a purposeless life. I don't have to make up some foolish purpose and say that's my purpose for existence, and everybody knows that it's ridiculous, and even if it makes some sense, it may not maximize my koichas, and even if it seems to maximize my koichas, it may not be the purpose for which I was put in this world. We have that. We know that. Maybe that's why Misina Yotzo Sino Le'olam. The world is so jealous of that. Of having a small nation that can know its true purpose. Let's talk for a moment.
Let's say I don't have a person. I can tell it to myself, let's say, right? You could have not a person, even though that Hashem created the world, you don't feel you're going to finish shots. You're not going to do Rotsan Borei because you can't go through all of what Hashem wants you to do.
Wait. Give me a chance, I'll get there. Okay, give me a chance, I'll get there. 100%, you're right. Can you give me a few minutes? I'll get there. Okay, thank you. All right, so now, but before we get there, let me just share one thing with you. Very important. Mitzad Echod, it's very important that our Talmidim have clarity as to what happened at Har Sinai. And it may surprise us to know that many, many, many yeshiva graduates are not so sure what happened at Har Sinai. There's a beautiful, the tour brings a Ramban in Parshas Yisroi, where after the Aseres HaDibrois, the Torah speaks about that Hashem is just the Koilei Subrokim, which just to test us. And they discuss Meforshim what exactly the test was. The Ramban that the tour brings says that the test was that Hashem wants to test us if we're really going to do the mitzvahs. Because He'll remove the suffix, there'll be no suffix left, because there was a Maimon Har Sinai and Kol Yisrael broke him veKol HaShofer Hoylech veChosek Ma'od, and then we'll be able to see that we have the love of Hashem and the chifetz to do the mitzvahs. It seems a little bit confusing. He wants to test us if we'll do the mitzvahs, and then he says, I'll remove the suffix, and then we'll see whether we have the love and the chifetz. What exactly is going on there? I think if you look at it, you'll see as follows. The desire is inside. We want to do the mitzvahs. We understand how important this is. We have an appreciation for Torah and mitzvahs. We have a love of Hashem. We've seen his Ashkocha Protis, we've seen his Nisa Beisoy Mitzrayim, Nisa Beniflois, and Adi Yamsuf, Vayamin of Hashem of Moshe Avdoi. But if there's room for a suffix, the suffix can interfere between the sincere feelings and motivation in our heart and the implementation in the life of Torah Mitzvahs, doing the Mitzvahs. I'm not exactly sure. What kind of a suffix was he talking about? A suffix to those that were in Mitzrayim? To those that the Torah was made by Minim Hashem Moshe Avdoi? To the doorway Ashiv Charos Alayam Ashiachesko Bebuzi Lero Abinavu Osoi? To a door that heard Onoichi Hashem Alekecha without the Koilus who broke him? No. More and more and more. So clear? Now, there will not be that breach. There will not be that disconnect between the desire to do and the ability to implement, because there's no makom for suffix. It's extremely important that there's clarity. However, we live in a generation where the Yetzer Hara runs rampant, and we have to be very, very careful. If we attempt to convince people and we use the wrong language, like absolute, incontrovertible, beyond every shadow of a doubt. Do you know what you've just done? You've cursed them to see shadows. They'll always see shadows. There's nothing beyond the shadow of a doubt. Is there anyone in this room who can tell me that he knows that his mother is his mother beyond the shadow of a doubt? I don't want to scare anybody, but it happens every so often. You read about it. Nobody. We live beyond reasonable doubt. Everything we do, we drink the water beyond reasonable doubt that it will poison us. We eat the food beyond reasonable doubt. We get in our car beyond reasonable doubt that we'll get into our destination. We live, and that's the standard for truth. And we must make sure not to overstate the standard for truth, but mitzad sheni, that truth is so important. Not to leave room for suffix. Now, the problem with beyond this shadow of a doubt is that it makes more sphakis. But there's a certain level, I guess at Har Sinai that was the level. We have to find that level too. It should be clear beyond any reasonable doubt. So, we have a purpose. We know the purpose. The manufacturer, the creator, revealed that purpose to us. We have to be careful, clear, and constant in sharing that purpose with our Talmidim. I brought with me a lot of material here, which I'm going to leave here and is available, will be available here, both also on our Priority One website. But this is an interesting concept. The quality of the work here, that's for you to judge. Maybe it's good, maybe it's mediocre, but the concept is superior. And that is that if we wish to instill this clarity of Torah and Hashemayim and our Talmidim, if we wish to give them the knowledge that they have a true purpose in their existence, and therefore they become feeling good about themselves, and we become that most important person who's making them feel good about themselves, and therefore we can continue to have further and further Hashpah on them, there's two ingredients that are necessary, and this work here is built on those two ingredients. On the one hand, they have to know the information. They have to know, they have to see, they have to understand that Maimon Har Sinai is an historic reality, as seen by millions of eyewitnesses, as passed down as eyewitness testimony from that original generation to their children. And you know why it's eyewitness testimony? if you know that if I would pass down the document that says there was a Maimon Har Sinai, then all my kid knows, if he believes I wouldn't lie to him, is that I believe there was a Maimon Har Sinai. But if I pass down a document that says, Atem ro'isem asher asisi b'mitzrayim, Atem ro'isem ki min ha-shamayim v'iparti imochem. Now this document says that I saw it. If I didn't see it, I wouldn't pass the lie down to my child. So it's something, the reality of Terem Sinai has to become a reality for our students. But how do we get to that reality? And here I'd like to address that point as well. And the answer to that is, what's in it for me? That's a famous phrase, that's a famous mood, that's a famous motivation in our society, as it was in every society throughout history. What's in it for me? And I dare say that the what's in it for me has to be more and more imminent depending on the generation in which we live. It's not enough in the next world. It's too far away. It may not even be enough too far down the line in this world. Our Talmidim have to see and feel the benefits of a life of Torah and mitzvahs in their very existence. They have to see how it is in fact a source of meaning, purpose, benefit, and happiness. Otherwise, all of our speeches, you could present the Maimon Har Sinai with all of its import, nobody's paying attention. Nobody's listening. Nobody could care less. My fingers go on my ears, my eyes get closed, my heart gets verstopped, and nobody pays attention. And if you think, and as I mentioned the other night at the dinner, if you think that this concept is, maybe we're beyond this concept, above this concept, we don't need that, then I just refer you to a Ralbag in the Te'elius, who says, if you wish to convince a loved one to do something which is bitzaru muzar, painful and strange, don't tell him what it is. First, tell him the benefits. And the benefits that he will gain will mitigate, the cheshik for the benefits, he says, will mitigate the pain and the strangeness of it. Where do we learn this from? Where is this Ralbag to be found? In Parshas Lech Lecha, Avram Avinu with the Bris Milah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not tell him about the knife. He told him, you're going to have Doiris and you're going to have Eretz Yisroel if you enter into this covenant with me. And only then, after he gave him the benefits, and the cheshik for the benefits will mitigate the tsar and the strangeness of it, did he tell him that there's a physical operation involved and a painful one. Avraham Avinu could have been impacted by this difference of knowing the benefits. So knowing benefits is critical. Knowing benefits is critical to our motivation to perform, and knowing benefits is critical to our willingness to listen to the Torah. The Chinuch says in the mitzvah of Kol Sorah v'Chol Dvash Leisaktiru Isha L'Hashem, that he writes, the Chinuch has Tam v'Toelis, he writes on all the mitzvahs. He was writing it for his bar mitzvah bocha, a gift for his bar mitzvahs, him and his friends. And he comes to this one mitzvah called Sorah v'Chol Dvash Leisaktiru Isha L'Hashem, and he says, I don't really know the reason. I can't really give a rational, something that's satisfying to him. He said, but I'm afraid, he says, that if I don't give tam v'toelis to all the mitzvahs, then the Torah is going to appear to them as Sefer Chosum, and I'm afraid the results will be pen yivatu bohem mitochkach b'na'arusom v'yanichum le'oilom v'yelchu la'hevel. I'm afraid my friend, my kid and his friends are going to kick, they're going to rebel against the mitzvahs. Forsake them forever and join the folly, the foolishness of the world. 500 years ago, growing up in the house of one of the Rishonim, in a generation where there was no Beis HaMikdash and he wasn't going to be frustrated every day, why can't I bring the Sora and the Baal Shana Mizbeach? And to a father who wrote a book for his Bar Mitzvah, who gave him Tam B'Toyeles in every mitzvah. Every mitzvah has Tam B'Toyeles, even Por Aduma, he says something. Tam B'Toyeles and one mitzvah, he's afraid the Torah will be a Sefer Chosum. They won't accept the Torah. There's something wrong. If I can't see Tam v'Toy Eles, then no matter how true, no matter how clear, no matter how much the evidence, no matter how many times you convince me and you attempt to convince me and you show me all the evidence and you share with me the testimony, I don't want to hear it. It's overwhelming. It's too burdensome. You know, Torah is burdensome. Like they say, it's 613 problems even before you get started. Not to mention all of the protodinim that ends up into the millions. So, there's resistance. And the only way to get around that resistance is to show them Tam v'Toeles for them. When they know there's a benefit, when they can appreciate the benefit, when the benefit is in the near and present, rather than in the next world, which is too long to wait. That's the formula for the willingness to open their minds to hear the Amitiyas HaTorah. And the Chiddush is Nifla. Because here I am giving you a purpose to your creation. Here I am sharing with you the very most critical ingredient to make you happy in life, because purpose gives you a sense of validation. You feel good about yourself and you'll be happy. And you're going to reject and resist the happiness because you don't see the benefits. And I must add, and you do see the burdens. So, critical. And when we talk about mitzvahs, we need as many opportunities as possible to share with our talmidim the benefits that they get from observance of mitzvahs. And I have something here. Again, I just want to introduce, it's called Reflections of the Heart. It's a work that was published many years ago. But it talks about the Yomim Tovim and Shabbos and a lot of the mitzvahs just in a very positive, beneficial way, what we gain from them. Now, in the younger grades, you may have to improvise a little bit because, you know, they're maybe not as sophisticated, although they say the kids today are getting far more sophisticated than ever before. Sophistication, they say, starts in kindergarten or pre-1A, but it's something that's very, very important. This whole concept, and I think it was given out here, it's a heavy work, but the psychology of Emunah discusses how we have these blinders to recognize the very truths that we would so direly and desperately want to recognize, but how difficult it is and what we can do to bypass that difficulty. But I think these are some of the things that are very critical. Now, I'd like to discuss something else, another piece, which is very validating, very uplifting, very happiness-provoking, and very critical. And that is a terminology of relationship with Hashem. I spoke the other night at the Cheder dinner, and I received a criticism, and I think it was a valid criticism, and I want to share it with you. You spoke about relationship with Hashem. They don't know what you're talking about. What does it mean? Vos mentos, vi esmindos, relationship with Hashem. So my retort was, they hear that concept. It sounds so enticing. It sounds so attractive. They'll go and find out what it is. And the answer was profound and negative. If we have so little understanding and appreciation for a concept, we're not even going to pay attention to it enough to go find out what it's about. There has to be a basis of understanding, of meaning, of relevance before I even invest the time or the interest or the effort or the motivation to even look into it and see what it means. But it is a critical ingredient in the chinuch process. And it's a most critical ingredient in human happiness. And let me share with you why. Do you know when the goy came to Hillel and he said, Gairaini al menas, that I stand al shwar, I stand al regal achas. What did he tell him? What does Rashi say in the first pshat? Who is Chavroch? What's Kol HaTorah Kulo? That which you is hateful, don't do to your friend HaKodesh Baruch Hu. It's about not breaching your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ze kol ha-Torah kulo ve-idoch pirusha zil gmor. That has to be a foundation of our chinuch, the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does it mean? How do we get there? How do we talk about it? How can we actualize it? Well, I'd like to make a number of suggestions in that vein, and with the sense that having or inspiring or feeling or identifying with that concept can make me feel so good about myself on a very simple level. Anyone who has friends in high places feels very choshuv. And the higher the places that you have friends, you feel even more choshuv. When I have a friend, Reachav Reovicho Al Tazev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I can reach that sense of his kashrus with Hashem, that's my friend. Wow, look what it does for me. And if you introduced me to my friend, and my friend is the ultimate source of my validation, because who is my friend? The Bnei Yoelim himself, Reach of Reovicho. Then you become so choshev in my life. I feel so good about myself. You've made me feel so good about myself. You, my Rebbe, you are capable of reaching me with all of your messages. The Tchilas Knisas Odom Leumne Sheosid Lamaboy, you've opened up that pipeline to be able to reach that goal. So you've introduced me to the one on high. That's powerful. That's super powerful. That makes me feel good about myself. However, it's much more than that, this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here's where, and again, this is something which I can't advocate for pre-1A, and I don't know where it starts, but I can suggest something about it. There's a little work, and all of these works that I'm leaving here are just representatives of information that we could use to be able to begin this sugya. This talks about, this is a little work on Shir HaShirim, actually coming out with another one, hopefully before Pesach. And what it basically says is, Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu have this passionate, loving relationship. Despite the fact that he is behester ponim, and I don't seem to see how much I love him. Despite the fact that I could reject him when he knocks on the door and says, Pischi le'achoisi rayosi samosi yoinosi, and I could say, Poshatati es kutonte echoch el besheno, rochatzti es ragle echoch atanfein. But the minute I see doidi sholach yodum in achor, may I homu alof, kamti ani levsoach ledoidi, Rashi says, b'leif sholim u'benefesh chafetzo. The Klal Yisrael cannot one moment, in one breath, reject HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the grossest and most despicable comments, and at the next moment jump up running after him, b'leif sholim u'benefesh chafetzo, because that love is there. It's buried down deep. It's something that never goes away. We have it despite the fact that we may not know it and we may not see it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for Klal Yisrael is also so intense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for Klal Yisrael is so intense. Two examples. Sror Hamor Doidi Leben Shada Yolin. Rashi says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, right under the chuppah, you went and did an egel. Right after Har Sinai, we're still standing under the chuppah. We're still chosen and kala. You went and you defiled the relationship and you did an egel. What am I doing? Bein Shaddai Yolin, I'm going to be Mashre Mashchino Bein Shnei Badei Ho'oroin. I loved you. Yishokeinim and Shikoyspiu. My man Har Sinai was the greatest expression of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love to Klal Yisrael. He gave us the Torah. And we slapped him in the face right under the chuppah. And what does he say? Oh, I've got to give you more love. What a love. What a love. In the worst of our matzovim, the eagle wasn't, I mean, the Zorah, whatever it was, they were giants, and it was some type of a dakis, some type of an overly dependent relationship with Moshe Rabbeinu, but whatever it was considered a terrible chet for them. What does the Kodesh Baruch Hu say? No, I guess I have to show you more love. And I'm going to make a mishkon, v'osoli mishkon, v'shchanti b'soichon, and b'mashur, the shechina, bein shada yolim, bein shnei badei orim. Fast forward to Perakei, I think it is. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, before the rebuilding of the second Beis HaMikdosh, Hosebi inaych minegdi shehem irivuni. The Chosen says to the Kala, turn your beautiful eyes away from me. They overwhelm me. I'm afraid if I look at your beauty, I'm going to lose myself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Klal Yisrael, Zot Rashi, in the Bayis Rishon, you had the Orin, the Kapiris, and the Kruvim. And if Gormuli Chibo Yisero, Ad Shema Altembi. It caused me to love you too much. It was a chiba yaseira. And you rebelled against me. Chiba yaseira, I guess we take for granted. We over, it's too much. We think we can get away with it. Whatever the lumdus is. In the second Beis HaMikdash, I'm not going to give you the Aron, the Kaporis, and the Kruvim, because I'm afraid of the chiba yaseira. Rashi's telling us that Shlomo HaMelech is telling us that the Rebbeinu Shlomo says to Klal Yisrael, I'm afraid that my love for you will be uncontrollable when I see you with your full spiritual glory, and therefore I can't give it to you. After the Chet, after leaving, after being thrown out of Eretz Yisrael, after the Golos, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still afraid. If I see you once again in your spiritual glory, I'm afraid I'll do a Chibo Yisera. Just think about it. I mean, that's kaviyochol. I don't know what that means in real terms, but in human terms, the way we're supposed to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to relate to it, uncontrollable love. So despite the fact that we sin, He still loves us intensely. Despite the fact that we don't realize that we talk so negatively, we still love Him. If we, something like this, like showing that the relationship, the loving relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael is still passionately alive and well. And Agav, I would just mention that the Art Scroll did a big service over here, because they translate Shir HaShirim, at least what I've seen in the old ones, I assume that's the still way to say what it is today, they translate Shir HaShirim only with the Nimshal, only with the Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you don't have to get involved in the whole love saga over here. You don't have to get involved in this whole story in the Moshul. Just with the Nimshal, they translate it. But imagine that if we can instill that sense of the yachas that exists between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's another step. That's love. What's that?
I tell my 7th grade class at Shmuz, they'll probably fall asleep.
Okay. So first of all, I'm not so sure. And let me tell you something. If they fall asleep, they'll have pleasant dreams. And the next time, they'll stay a little bit more awake.
They'll start making trouble.
What's that?
They'll start misbehaving.
No. When they sleep, they don't misbehave. Come on. You don't have such bad kids that they misbehave. Okay. Listen. If it's not for the 7th grade, then maybe it's for the 6th grade. Okay. Anyway. Okay. Fine. Listen, I'm just offering. I don't agree with you, but I would...
Come to my class.
What? No. You come to my class first. You read my book first. After you finish this, then you tell me the same. Then you tell me the same thing. No, Rabbi, forgive me, please. I apologize, but forgive me. We have to get it in ourselves. If we're passionate about it, it's contagious. It's contagious. It's uncontrollable. There's no immunity that can hold it back. Oh, anyway, let's go on.
If you teach 7th grade, I'll come watch you.
What's that?
If you teach 7th grade, I'll come watch you.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, look. Okay, listen. I'm just offering suggestions. Those that seem that are miskabel al hadas, bakasha. Those that aren't, no offense. And nobody will know either. So, that's fine. Okay, let's go on. Yeah. Something else, okay? If this relationship is not for 7th graders, let's assume that that's correct, okay? Now let's try something else. Hashgocha Protis. Amazing. What it is to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actively involved in our lives. And the tzora is that people don't realize it. The tzora is we take it for granted. I told this story publicly. I told it a few times, but it's too precious not to tell again. But I'll just try to make it very quick. In the Yom Kippur War, there were like very few soldiers standing and guarding the Suez Canal, and the Egyptians came across ready armed with hundreds of soldiers ready to take him captive. Everything was all over. All of a sudden, the Egyptians raise up their hands. They surrender. These guys didn't know what happened. This finally asked one of the Egyptians, says, what are you talking about? You had hundreds and hundreds of soldiers coming down with armor, with guns, with this, with that, and we were outnumbered. We had to surrender. There was nothing there. They imagined it. So this is a Balshuva who had been there, was giving a lecture in a school in Los Angeles. So somebody goes over to him and says, is that what inspired you to become a Balshuva? He says, absolutely not. Had no effect whatsoever. What inspired you to become a Baal Tshuva? Years later, I was at a speech and I heard somebody tell this story. And I said, that was me. That's what inspired me to become a Baal Tshuva. Without the focus, without the attention, it's not going to go in. We got to wake them up before we can get anything in. And if they're going to fall asleep, you're right. But make enough noise so they won't fall asleep. This guy heard a speech. He was focused. He was listening. All of a sudden, he realized more than what happened to him, Bishasit was happening. Very important to get that focus. We can't always, but so Hashgacha Pratis has to be focused. If they're aware of it, I'll never forget once we ran a contest in one school where the most difficult student in the whole school won the contest. It was $100 for the best personal story of Hashgacha Pratis. And it was a story how in 1944, when the Nazis were about to invade Budapest, so this guy's grandparents and their children, they had to make a decision to run or to hide. They decided to run to get out of Hungary, but they had no transit visas. So at the border, they would not be able to cross. They decided to run anyway. They get on the train, they're going, everything's fine. They come to the border guards come in. As the border guard is coming to their compartment, an old man sits down next to them. He pulls out papers. The border guard looks at the papers, looks at the family, gives the old man back his papers. The guard walks on. The old man disappears, and the family is here today to tell the story. This kid was shocked. He says, Akadosh Baruch Hu is involved in my life. I'm alive today. This was his parents and his grandparents. I'm alive today because of such a miraculous intervention. Changed his life. Change his life. And we see this time and again. But they have to be, it has to be brought to their attention. Maybe a contest, maybe a discussion, maybe every week sharing some Hashgacha Pratis, when we realize that the Bnei Olam is in fact involved in our lives. A personal story is the most powerful. A story that happened to you is the next. Stories that you read, that's a little bit much less. But very important. And that forges a relationship. Because one of the vehicles of relationship is tefillah. One of the problems they have with tefillah is I don't see him answering. Well, the answer is that he answers in action, not necessarily in words. Look at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. Pay attention to how he responds. Pay attention, sometimes he responds better than I anticipated because my thoughts were this, but that really wouldn't have been so good. And he responds better. Show them, introduce them to the idea HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved with my life, and then I can turn to him, and I know that he is involved with me, and that Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, even without the Shir HaShirim, is can become a reality. And for that, I have another suggestion. Actually, I have two suggestions. And I'm leaving all of this here, and it's all available to anyone who wants, free of charge. It can be either sent to you or downloaded from the Priority One website. Here's a work, and Machanchim tell me that they use it. One Machanach just the other day, Rechassan, told me he used it for his class, and he used it for himself. It's just a work on Shemoneh Esrei. And all it is simple explanation of the words, a more elaborate explanation, and then a small paragraph of how these words can inspire bitochen. If we can inspire our students to feel that they can rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that they can have a relationship with Him, they can trust Him, it's a whole different world. In fact, if I know that I can trust Him, and by the way, the two benefits of trust are, number one, the ability to get things that I want. Number two, the menuchas hanefesh that I can have in life, knowing that the Rabbeinu Shalom is involved and controls everything. Then I want to believe in him. Then you talk to me about Maamar Har Sinai. It's a whole different story. Bitochen can be the greatest motivator to be mekabel the amitius haTorah. And this is a piece or different readings about bitochen, which can be very helpful for everyone, Machanchim, I guess, especially. Maybe the hour is late. I would just like to add one more ingredient, and we really don't have time for much more. And that is, life is full of curveballs. We never know when life is going to throw us a curveball. But it always does. I spent a good part of today just speaking to people with peklach tzoros. Everybody has a pekel. It's very hard when a pekel is thrown at you, or when you feel the weight of that pekel, to tell a person, oh, oylam chesed yiboneh, kol mad ovid achmol letavovid, oh, everything is kodesh baruch hu atoiv ha-meitiv. It's hard enough to say dayan o'emes, let alone atov ha-meitiv. that has to be ingrained in our students early on. They have to understand from the very beginning, Olam Chesed Yibone, Kodesh Baruch Hu is only about Chesed. He has no Chefetz B'tachtoinim other than to do Chesed. Bereishis Bora Elohim with the Midas HaMishpot was really the greatest expression of Olam Chesed Yibone. Why? Chazal tell us. Because if he would not have created the world with Mishpot, there would be Nama Dikisufa. We wouldn't appreciate the good. We would be embarrassed from the good. We didn't earn the good. It's not true. It's not real. It's not ours. From the very beginning, the next parasha says, "V'yoyim asoyis Hashem elokim, his hikdim midas harachamim lamidas hadin, ushot for yamidas hadin, rachamim is a shutef together within, but all for the same purpose, to do chesed in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that we should teach them the words that they should say every day, and maybe sing it, HaToiv ki loy cholu rachamecho, v'hamerachem ki loy samu chasodecho. His chesed and his rachamim is endless." And that's why Me'olam Kivinu Loch. That's where it comes from. Very important to get that in before the vicissitudes of life come in and challenge them and overwhelm them, and they get faced with problems and challenges and Rahmanu Islam tragedies, and then it's so much harder to come to that awareness. But if that's, I've seen Hashgacha, I feel Hashem's love, I feel Hashgacha, brothers, I know everything's all about Chesed. In the good times, before challenges strike, it's so much easier to cope with those challenges. And I'd like to just conclude with one more thing, and that is, I believe that in order to assure this process to be successful, and in order to assure our students maintaining that sense of self-worth and validity and feeling good about themselves, we have to create an environment where they feel free to ask questions. Too many of our Talmidim over the years, not insinuating anybody from here, but from every community around the world, I never felt free in yeshiva to ask questions. I often heard, whether I was told or my friend was told, that such questions do not belong in a class like this, or in a moshav like this, or from a person like this. And if they're not free to ask questions, they will choke on them. These things will bother them. They will, number one, be invalidated because we don't even consider their questions worth anything. Number two, they will have issues that later will pose excuses to drift off the derech because I got so many unanswered questions. And they will even, and forgive me, they will even suspect that maybe the Rebbeim are a bit of a hoax also and don't really know the answers. And this I hear often too. We must have an environment free to ask questions, comfortable to ask questions. Chatzkel Abramsky once told me that when he became the Rav of the Dayan in London, the first they got him in there, the old Dayan retired, and they touted this great Eloi that's coming to be the new Rav, the new Dayan, and the Reish HaKol comes in and asks him a shaila, and he says, "I don't know." He's all upset, the Reish HaKol. He calls the old Rav was upset, he calls Rav Chatzkel Abramsky, says, "He says, of course I know the answer." He says, "The first lesson the Jews of London have to learn is the Rav doesn't have to know everything. The Rav doesn't have to know everything. I don't know is a valid answer. It's not the valid answer to all questions. Something without this, you gotta know something. But I don't know, but you know something? First of all, it's a good question. Then you validated the questioner. He feels good already. He's already good and you're already the good guy because you made him feel good. I'll go look it up. I'll go ask somebody. We'll look it up together. We'll research that." And don't forget to come back. He needs answers. And don't worry about the answers, because even if it's a younger child and he can't fully understand the answer, giving him an answer that he best can understand, hearing that you understand it, is also comforting, even if he doesn't get it completely. So I think that's the environment that we have to create. Gentlemen, I appreciate your... late, wow, your time and your attention. If there are any questions or comments, I'd be happy either now or privately after. And I wish everybody Hatzlocha, Yerotzen Shetishre, Shechino B'Masi Yadeichem.
I have a meeting for Myra.